Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. Stuffy nose, head cold, feeling miserable, but the program must go on. Thank you, God, for the special message I was able to hear last night, and I'll share with you this morning. It's from a 1963 Billy Graham crusade presented in Los Angeles. Most all of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Association. What a ministry used of God for so many years. Billy Graham will talk about Jesus' preaching, the simple concepts that he shared that people understood, that he preached with authority, and that Jesus told stories to illustrate profound truths of God. Thank you for listening to today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. So here's a little introduction from the Billy Graham Association, and then you'll hear Billy Graham's message as recorded in 1963 at a Los Angeles crusade.
Peace with God.
Just a few more fries, or maybe one more piece of cake. They tasted so good at the time. But a few minutes later, the regret sets in. It's the same with sin. Only a lot more serious.
The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But then comes the bitterness, the emptiness, the loneliness.
But Billy Graham says God's offering you a love that's greater than your sin.
Will you receive my love? Will you allow me to forgive you? Will you allow me to come into your heart and make you a new person?
You'll be encouraged by today's message here on Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. Also on today's program, a reality check from Will Graham.
Often we fail to connect God's Word with reality. In other words, God tells us in Scripture what He desires, but yet when it comes to our everyday living, we choose not to follow what He teaches.
You'll hear the rest of Will's insight in just about 20 minutes. There's something you should know today. God is pursuing you because He loves you. That's what you'll hear explained in today's message from Billy Graham. It comes from his 1963 crusade in Los Angeles, California. Let's listen now here on Peace with God.
Now today, I want you to turn with me to the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Here we have the story, three stories that Jesus told. It's a very wonderful thing to study the teaching and the ministry and the preaching of Jesus Christ. There are several things that stand out about His preaching. One, His preaching was always simple. The common people heard Him gladly. He said profound things in a simple way. Secondly, Jesus always preached with authority. He spoke as one having authority. You never had any doubts about where Jesus stood on any issue. He spoke with authority. Thirdly, Jesus never gave a sermon but what He used illustrations and stories. He always told some simple story to illustrate a profound spiritual truth. And here Jesus is visiting in the home of some of the publicans and sinners. Now, many people of that day condemned Him for going with the publicans and the sinners. It's true that the Bible teaches that we as Christians ought to be separated from the world. But we're to be separated also in the world. We are to go into the world. The Scripture says that God sends us as sheep among wolves. What could be more dangerous than a sheep in a pack of wolves? And that's exactly the position of the Christian today in the midst of the wicked and perverse generation. We are sheep among wolves. And Jesus never held Himself aloof from society. He went to the various things that the world was doing. He never compromised. He never participated in evil. But Jesus always invariably used it as an opportunity to witness. He used it as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, to preach. And on this occasion, there was no exception. He was there and He tells three stories that illustrate one great spiritual truth. The first story He tells is about a sheep. A man had 100 sheep. 99 of them were safe, but one of them had gotten lost, had wandered away. And it's the story of a shepherd that is going throughout the countryside, over the mountains, in the valleys, in the woods, searching at tremendous cost to himself for one lost sheep. One sheep that had gone astray. Now, I know something about sheep. Sheep can get lost easier than any animal. The Bible, all the way through, likens us to sheep. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says that the human race are just like sheep. And you and I today are lost from God. You've wandered away. Our minds have been blinded to spiritual things by sin. We are morally and spiritually lost. We are separated from God. We have wandered away from God. But the beautiful part of this chapter, of this story, is this. That in spite of the fact that we've gone astray and we're living separated from God, lost, facing judgment and hell, ending in destruction, the Bible says that God loves us, but more than that, God is searching for us. The shepherd left the 99 that was safe in the fold and went after the one lost sheep. And God so loved this little earth, he so loved us that he sent his son even to the death of the cross to humble himself on the cross to bring us back to himself. Because you see, God made us in his image. And when he made us, he gave us a will of our own. You can live any kind of life you want to. You can laugh at God. You can say you don't believe in God. You can live a wicked, godless, sinful life apart from God. Or you can turn and receive God's offer of love and grace and mercy and be forgiven of your sins and enter a new dimension of living. But every one of us has to make that choice. You're lost. You're away from God. There's no peace in your heart. No joy. No security. No real happiness. There's problems in your home. Problems in your business. Problems in your personal life. You're in the grip of some terrible habit. Lost. Psychologically lost. Morally lost. In the grip of some terrible sex sin that you cannot throw off. Some habit that has you in its grip. Lost in your appetites to alcohol or narcotics of some sort that has you in its grip. Lost to pride, to jealousy that eats in your heart like a disease. Lost, morally, spiritually, psychologically lost. But worse than that, separated from the love and the fellowship of God, on your way to judgment, destruction, and hell. And yet God loves you. God is saying, come back. Come back. He called you by name. He's like the shepherd that goes after the one lost sheep. He says, I want you back. Won't you come back? Let me forgive your past. Let me give you a new life. Let me give you power to overcome those habits that have bound you. Let me break the chains and the cords and the ropes of sin that bind you. Let me give you a new life. That's what God is saying. But many of you are resisting. You have 1,000 excuses. You harden your heart. You rebel against him. You say, I don't want to be found. But God will not give up. He loves you too much. He sees the end is destruction. And he says, I want to save you. And he sends his Holy Spirit to convict you. He may send bereavement in your family to speak to you. He may send some problem or difficulty in your home, some disappointment to speak to you. And he wants you to say, yes, I will return. I will come back. I will surrender to God. The second story Jesus told was about a girl. She was probably 17 or 18 years of age. And in those days, a girl's great ambition was to get married. She wanted to get married. But in those days, before she could get married, the custom was that she had to save 10 silver coins. And these 10 silver coins would be worn in her hair as an evidence that she was of marriage age and evidence that she had saved enough for her marriage. And this girl had saved her 10 silver coins. But she lost one of them. And she turns the house upside down, calls in her neighbors to help her find the one coin that was lost. She looked under the bed. She looked in the kitchen. She swept the house from top to bottom, but she couldn't find the coin. But finally tucked away, where it had rolled in a crack in the floor, she finds the coin. She calls her friends and neighbors in. They have a party to rejoice that the lost coin had been found. Jesus said, "You and I are like lost coins." And a lost coin is lost by neglect and carelessness. There are many of you here today that don't mean to be lost. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to have to face the judgment of God. You say, I think I'll get to heaven. In fact, almost everybody in this stadium this afternoon thinks that someday, eventually, you'll be saved. You don't expect to end up 1 minute after death separated from God. You expect to be in heaven. And yet many of you have gone through the wrong door. You are trusting the wrong things to get you to heaven. I know many people that think they're going to get to heaven because they're a member of some church. You've got your name on a church roll. You've been confirmed. You've been baptized. Maybe you don't go to church with regularity. You don't give much time to God, but at least you give intellectual assent to the claims of God and you go to church because it's the social thing to do, or it's a duty, or you're trying to set an example for your family. All of those are good reasons, but they will not save your soul. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast." You can't work your way to heaven. You can't sign your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. And because you're resting in a false security, you're lost. Careless, lost from God. But in spite of that, God says, "I love you. I want you to return. I'll forgive you. I'll restore you. I'll heal your backsliding. I'll bring you back into fellowship with me. I will give you a joy that you never had before. Return." How many thousands of people here this afternoon have a nostalgia for that old day when you lived a different life and had a greater peace than you have now? God says, "Return. I will forgive you. I will heal you. I will cleanse you. I will make you a new person."
You'll hear the conclusion of Billy Graham's message as presented in the 1963 Los Angeles Crusade in just a moment. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And being sick with a head cold, stuffy nose, sore throat, you name it, thank you, God, for this message I heard last night and am sharing with you today. God has worked through Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Association for so many years, and I hope this broadcast is drawing you closer to God and ministering to your soul. Here's Billy Graham.
The third story that Jesus told is about a man that had two sons. He was a rancher. He probably had one of these great cattle ranches here in California. And his son one day, his youngest son, came to him and said, "Dad, I'm getting tired of the ranch. I'm getting tired of living out here farming and raising cattle or oranges or whatever they raise." And he said, "I would like to have my inheritance from you right now. I want to go to Los Angeles. I want to go to Hollywood or Beverly Hills. I want to go to one of those places and have a good time. I'm tired of the monotony and the drudgery of staying here on the farm. Let me have my money now. I'm going to the big city. I'm going to have a big time." The father said, "Son, I advise against it. I advise you not to, because you won't find satisfaction that way. You'll find satisfaction only in faith in God. You won't find it in material things. You won't find it in the pleasures of the world. But the boy was headstrong. He thought he knew better. And so he said, Dad, I'm going to go. So his father gave him the money because he was of age. And he left home and he went to the big city. Now this young man was not careless about it. This young man was not stupid. This young man was deliberate. He deliberately chose to go his own way. And how many of you here today have deliberately chosen to go your own way? This young man deliberately chose to go his own way. And so he came to town. And for a while he had a wonderful time. It was a great life. All the bright lights. Many friends, nightclubs, girls. He had everything. Money, everything that money could buy, he had it. But then something happened. He ran out of money. And he found when he ran out of money, his friends left him. And he was alone. And he tried to get a job, but he couldn't get a job. Nowhere could he find any work. Out of money, lonely. And he began to starve. And finally, he went to one of his former friends and he said, won't you give me a job even feeding the pigs? The man said, all right, you can go out in the barn and feed the pigs. And you can eat with the pigs. And he went out and he began to feed the pigs. And he stooped so low and fell so deep in the mire and the mud that he looked like a pig, he acted like a pig, and he ate like a pig. And that's how the devil pays off. In the beginning, a life of sin looks like it'll pay off well. That first sex experience that you know is wrong. Those first few drinks. Those first few sinful pleasures. So sweet to the taste. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But then comes the bitterness, the emptiness, the loneliness. That's how the devil pays off. But this young man in his emptiness, in his loneliness, in his misery, in his hell, begins to think about his father. This is the story now that Jesus told. He begins to think about his father. And he says, why, my father's hired hands, his servants have more than I have. I think I'll get up and go back to the ranch and beg my father's forgiveness and ask him if I can be his slave. And so he gets up and goes. But you say, Billy, I cannot leave the pig pen. I've been there too long. I've got habits and problems that I cannot get rid of. I know your problem. I have to deal with it all the time in my counseling. No, you cannot leave it. You're in the pig pen. You try to get up, but your will has been dulled and paralyzed. You try to change. You want to turn to God, but you can't. Ah, yes, you can. Because you see, if you are willing, God will reach down into the pig pen. God will reach down into the mire of sin and pick you up by His own strength and change you from the inside out. God will help you to repent if you let Him. This young man went back. And while he was a long way off, his father had been watching for him every day. And he was looking through his field glasses and he said, I think that's my son coming down the road. And he ran to meet him and he put his arms around him. And he said, son, welcome home. And the boy blurted out, father, I'm sorry, forgive me. I know that I'm not worthy to be your son. I want to be your hired servant. The father said, nonsense, son. You've been lost, but now you're found. I forgive you. Welcome home. Kill the fatted calf. Bring out the royal robes. Let's have a party. Call in the neighbors and friends. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, God the Father is watching for you. And when you return, all of heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. The orchestras in heaven play. The choir sings. It causes rejoicing in heaven when one person turns and receives Christ. God loves you today so much that even if you were the only person in all the world, He would have died for you on the cross. God loved you so much that He was willing to watch while His Son was beaten and spat upon and mocked and laughed at and crucified. God the Father loved you so much that He was willing to go to the cross in the person of His Son and say to you, I love you. I'm proving it by this cross. Will you receive my love? Will you allow me to forgive you? Will you allow me to come into your heart and make you a new person? I'm going to ask you to come and receive the Father's love this afternoon. To trust Him. To surrender your life and your heart to it. And say, oh God, I want to return to God. I want Christ to live in me.
God loves you, dear listener. Have you trusted in Jesus? Do you want a relationship with Almighty God? There are counselors that would love to talk with you. It's a free call. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.